This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got breaking news.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski's
not
fired.
That news. Oh.
So, Mac.
Nobody cares about that one compared to what we got coming right now.
From the 816. Do y'all get swarmed by dudes in public? You should have seen all the dorks swarming Spectre this weekend at K&B's Funtown on Saturday. LOL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, it'd be fun down. What the hell? I have kids. Dusty doesn't. Mac doesn't. And I'm like, none of us, the three of us, had no idea what this K&B Funtown is. What? So, of course, you go to your Google, right? K&B Funtown, also known as K&B's Tiny Town, is a new indoor playground in Parkville, Missouri, designed for children ages 8 and under, featuring a tiny city with pretend play areas like a grocery store, salon, and vet's office, plus a soft play zone for babies and toddlers, a cafe, and a mother's room.
I can see it now. Somebody built a stadium and said, Spec, do you think this is what it's going to look like in Wyandotte?
It offers open play and birthday parties with admission price per child and requires socks for entry.
Thank goodness. They should have that for planes.
The fact that he what did he say? All the dorks swarming Spectre? Was that the thing?
Yeah. That's awesome. Because I obviously we all know Spec personally. Like, I could only imagine what it's like.
Oh, he was in hell.
I was hating every second.
I know. He was in hell. Hey, Stephen. Hey, what are we doing today? Yeah. We're trying to take the kids to K&B Funtown. Sounds like that's what you're doing today.
Get bent.
God, I hope it was Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yeah, and it smelled like feet.
No, because socks are required.
It still smells like feet. Have you ever been to one of those like...
they have a Sky Zone place.
Yeah. And go in there, take a whiff, and tell me if you... I mean, you want to talk about festering feet. Take a bite out of my ass. I was my daughter had some friends over on Friday, and some of them were on the bowling team. I was like, "Oh, the bowling alley." I said, "There's no chance I'm doing that." And they said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I'm a germaphobe." And her other friend goes, "Oh, I am too." She goes, "I have to have my own ball because I'm like, exactly. These people go to the bathroom, they wipe their ass, they lick their fingers, they eat wings, they don't wash their hands, stick those fingers in the ball, and that ball's coming back up, and you're sticking your fingers in that warm, moist area where dirty hands have been.
Crazy.
And then you're licking your fingers."
I mean, there is not a better cheeseburger in Lee Summit than Summit Lanes.
I didn't say anything about the food. I said the ball. I'll go eat at a bowling alley. Not sticking my fingers in those holes.
I'll die on that Lee Summit Hill. Between Johnny Ray's and Summit Lanes, they're like right next to each other.
Next to each other.
And I don't know which one's better because I've had a burger at both and they are delightful. The text of the day. Do y'all get swarmed by dudes in public? Y'all should have seen all the dorks swarming Spectre this weekend at K&B's Funtown on Saturday.
I need more on K&B Funtown.
Well, that light will turn on in about 20 minutes, and you can go right into that office, and I'm sure he's got a story.
So is that hell or semi-hell, Steven? Because you could just see him there. Oh,
you think he dropped the line of, now I know why tigers eat their young. All right, so... College football is down to their final four, and it's loaded with storylines.
Watch the game at K&B Funtown this weekend with Steven Spector.
Well, it's Thursday and Friday, so you don't have to worry about Saturday. Then it's NFL, and it's, hey, do you think Myles Garrett should be the MVP? Send Binkley to K&B Funtown. Wouldn't that be a podcast? I'm here from the Trampoline Edition from K&B. Storyline number one, Oregon Ducks. The team that doesn't have one. I mean, there are three teams in this field that do not have a national title. The Oregon Ducks is where storyline number one is. Dan Lanning, can they finally do it? They have moved to the Big Ten. We have seen the Big Ten be prominent in college football. I believe they had the last 2 years championships with Michigan and Ohio State. Now, we think we're probably going to see another Big Ten champion, whether whoever wins this Oregon-Indiana game, we would think, would move on. Can Oregon finally get a title in Eugene, Oregon? Can Dan Lanning be the guy that does it? He's had all the accolades up to this point. Now you're in the Final Four. Now you've got a team that can go out there. Their defense is good. Your offense, whatever it may be. But here we go. That's storyline number one.
It's interesting with them because, you know, they have not done it before, as you had mentioned. It seems like a team that should do it before.
They've had opportunities.
But you're getting matched up against Indiana, man. And that's a tough nut to crack right now, man.
That's storyline number two. Maybe, quite possibly, the worst collegiate football team, Division I in history, with, like, I think the most losses of any team. KU's, like, third or fourth on that list. Not to throw any shade.
But the point of the story is, if Indiana can do this, there's no reason Kansas can.
And Cignetti goes from, Google me, I win, to now, whatever he's doing is working, right? Comes from James Madison, where he wins, goes to Indiana. Now Indiana just absolutely mollywopped Alabama. Game was never close. They never had a chance.
Nope.
He's got this quarterback in Mendoza who is just the king of post-game interviews. He's going to be in Vegas. Protect that man at all costs in Vegas, Tom Brady. Here's your first test. But Indiana, why not? You know, Cignetti, everybody kind of came in. He had that drop at a press conference where some coaches have been able to overcome that. We remember how everybody gave Dan Campbell a bunch of crap saying kneecaps. Dan Campbell lived up to that, right?
Yeah.
Cignetti, Google me. Now all of a sudden, you don't have to Google Cignetti. And you see him, his ways on the sideline, the way he does it. It's got that Nick Saban type of feel to him. And now we sit back and we wait how long until Alabama cracks the blank check like Clark Hunt did with Andy Reid and said, hey, you're not leaving this interview until you sign this whatever number you want.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, where he's going to be after next season. Or maybe somebody, if they win a national championship, somebody makes a coaching change, you know. That's been done before. It could probably happen again with this guy. But if you're Indiana, you're not going to let him get away. That's where the NIL comes in.
Right.
You write the check as big as you possibly can. And, you know, it's fun to watch that team play. What I really like about Kurt Cignetti is that the fact that he doesn't work hard. And he understands the work-life balance. And he gets into the office at 7:30 and they leave at 5 every day. And that's the way it needs to be. All these coaches that sit in these offices for hours on end and hours on end and hours on end, and it doesn't really amount to all that. I hope Kurt Cignetti is rewriting the coaching manual on how to do it and how to have that work-life balance, because that's the only way you can be successful in this, is to have that balance, especially nowadays.
Storyline number three, no secret here, probably the best one of the college football playoffs remaining teams, Ole Miss.
Yeah, the storyline for me is the, I will say it, the spineless coaches that are going to bail on this team to go to LSU. Screw you, 100%. Man. That you are a spineless jellyfish coward if you're going to leave these kids now. It's one thing for the head coach to leave and whatnot. They played that game the other day, and they beat the snot out of Georgia. And they didn't think they were going to win that game. And all these coaches had plans to walk out after that game. And now, you know, Lane Kiffin's telling them, hey, you want to come to LSU? You got to leave now. That is a terrible way to do business right now for those kids. And if I'm the head of Ole Miss right now, I'm making offers to these coaches to stay at Ole Miss and not go to LSU full-time.
Well-known offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr.
Unbelievable.
Over there. And he's going to leave after the season's over. The storyline is crazy. We're all rooting for this team, right? Like, this is no K-State, no Kansas, no Mizzou, no Tennessee, no Ohio State.
Sorry, Hannah went there, so I'm all in.
So there you go.
See, I'm going for Indiana on this
one. That's fair. I mean,
I get that.
That's, you know, that's the underdog, now the one seed of all the history. But, I mean, you have to think to yourself, Kiffin leaves, that story alone, the way it all fizzled out, his, you know, last thing was, well, I want to coach until the season's over. Like, no, dude, if you're leaving, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if they do win it all, how great is this? They win it all. There will be no recognition to Kiffin on a trophy. There will be no ring given. There will be no ceremony. There will be no invite. There will be nothing.
Nothing.
And the one national title that he's always been chasing was right there, and he let it go.
And there's no guarantees, though, if he was there, they would have won the national title if he was still the head football coach there.
It's a very ironic situation that he's title chased his entire career, his whole life, and now he has one possibly on his doorstep, and he walked away from it. Could have had it all. Could have just been like, hey, you know what? I like where I'm at. I like the system we're building. This quarterback that transferred from Division II that was a winner came in. My starting quarterback got hurt, and this guy kind of completely took over, and I'm just going to leave it all to go to LSU because I think it's the better job when reality has said right now Ole Miss was the better job.
And that's the old head way of looking at things. You cannot look at it just because it's LSU or Alabama and say it's a better job than Indiana or Ole Miss because they're not at this point
in
time.
It's almost like they're winning in spite of him. Like there's a little bit of extra juice
there. Oh, sure
there
is. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they're going this far if Kiffin is still there. These kids and that coach that looks like Lilja, I mean, they really are, man. They're out there fighting and battling and doing what they need to do. That was a fun game to watch.
And I will say this. The last storyline is Miami. The team that no one thought should get in. The team that was the only team, I think, in the field now that has a title. Right? Jimmy Johnson won one.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Right, but has a title. And everyone said Miami didn't deserve to be in. Well, they're in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And they beat Georgia.
Where's Notre Dame people at right now?
And
I'm right here. They should still be in, but it's okay. Good job, Miami.
But it's a story.
Yeah,
it's part of the storyline. This is a team that everyone said didn't deserve it. They're the 10th seed in this tournament. Mm-hmm. Now they're in the Final Four. They're in the Sims. And everybody wanted them out. Everyone said they don't deserve to be here. And maybe, just maybe, they have the best defense in college football and another school that is flooded with NIL money. And then the side
they
note
got cash.
And then the side note that involves all these teams, every one of these coaches is from the Saban tree.
That's crazy too.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's insane.
It's in Saban.
Yeah. It's nuts, man. That is wow.
That's awesome.
All from the Nick Saban tree.
That's really cool.
You said it's the games wild. Are when?
Thursday and Friday. Which is fine for me, because I mean all we gotta do is get to Wednesday. Hell, we got tomorrow. Cause you know, you get to build up for it, and then Thursday night you get one game, Friday night you get the other one, and then I believe Monday is the national title game.
They spend the following week. I mean, because this league, this college league, spends more time trying to dodge the NFL than just scheduling their games. We need to get to a point where the first round of playoff games are the first weekend in December. This thing, the championship game should be on New Year's Day. First weekend of December, second week of December, third week of December, championship game on New Year's Day, and we're done. And we're not dancing on a Thursday night and a Friday night. What an ass night
Friday
for television.
Night?
You know, everybody's back to life now. The holidays are over, right?
And
people are back to work, back to high school sports, you know,
longer.
Back to all of that kind of stuff. You know, that is reality in this world, right? I mean, it is reality. When Friday night comes around, people are on date nights. They're doing all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
College football spends too much time trying to avoid the NFL. They need to get rid of the conference championship games. They don't make any sense whatsoever.
100%.
And just start the playoff on the first weekend of December, man. Let's go. Move it up. Start at December. Have the entire month of December that is yours while the NFL is tying up loose
ends.
Make
that your month.
Make it your month and own the month of December. And then on New Year's Day, when everybody wakes up hungover, you've got your national championship game at 4 o'clock at the Rose Bowl and call it a day. And I don't care if every championship game's at the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day at 4 o'clock, if that's what they want and that's what's going to rotate everything else around, have that as your main site because everybody loves it. And let's get this college football stuff underway because it just continue to draw this stuff out.
College football, who you're pulling for on the other side, also in the NFL, and Josh Klingler at 825 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
What a tweet from Schefter. What a tweet from Schefter. Sources, Kevin Stefanski is out as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. After moving on from Cleveland, Stefanski is now expected to be one of the top candidates in the hiring cycle. We did this, Monday or Tuesday? We counted 8 jobs. We know there's a job in Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, and Atlanta.
Yeah, we kind of ended in that 7 to 10 range.
Yeah.
But yeah, the high end, there was like 10 possible, you know, openings that could have come up. We'll see.
Yeah, so Stefanski out in Cleveland is...
it's not going to be as many as we always think, is it?
No.
Well, I'm surprised it's this late. We only had one today.
Is Harb still going to be there?
I would assume...
Is that the blockbuster trade we look out for this spring?
Sick.
Is Lamar?
Oh, Lamar. I was thinking maybe Harbaugh being traded to the Giants.
Or both.
The coach, yeah.
Or to the Chiefs. We need a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, Dave Tobe is still here. Right? Did he get fired?
Right.
But, you know, like I am... I'm surprised it hasn't been quicker. Maybe it's still kind of early, though. It's only 9:20 on the East Coast, and so maybe in the next, you know, half hour or so, we start to see more names. Is Aaron Glenn set to come back in New York, or is that one that
he's going to come back?
Okay,
I don't know why, but I think.
What about Cincinnati?
That's one that I'd expect to be done. Arizona, Jonathan Gannon, another one I'd expect to end it.
Vegas.
Yep.
I don't know if Pete comes back.
It's a big talking point.
Yeah.
They
talked a lot about it in that game yesterday.
They did.
Especially moving on from Geno, moving on from Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You have the number one overall pick. We assume, I don't know for sure, but I would assume Mendoza probably goes number one overall if things go well.
Cardinals?
Mac was talking about this in the break.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon, yeah.
With, Gannon and he smacked a player. He's gone. No life in that guy. None. But you talk about college football playoffs. You think the winner, not only the winner between Oregon and Indiana, is the national championship winner, but also whoever wins that game is the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think at least whoever plays better is what I'll say. Whoever performs better, I think it's going to be between Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. Dante Moore is not technically declared yet for the draft, but I believe he will after this season. And even with the not declaring, he's second and not far behind Mendoza. I imagine with a good performance and declaring, he'll probably be the number one pick.
What is he making in college?
It's a great question.
Probably a lot of money in Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, obviously you're going to make more in the NFL, but is it worth it to play one more year in college and not have the bearing of the NFL and make $8-10 million a year? You know, being the quarterback at Oregon too. I mean, you have to factor that in.
Yes, it's worth it to me. Yeah. Yes, that's worth it.
Yeah,
like I would have another year of fun in college. I'll make $1.5 million. I'll be the king of Eugene and kill it, and then I'll go next year.
Yeah, right.
If I tear my ACL, fine. I'll go late in the first round. Stuff happens, but like I'll come back.
People tear their ACLs all the time and come back in the NFL.
Yes.
Right. It's not that big a deal. I think now
we'll see that story
exactly
in Kansas City.
Exactly.
Damn right.
And you know the way that I look at it now is if you're making like this kid at BYU or whatever is making $8 million to play college basketball for a year, right? Or
shout out Crumble Cookie.
You know, if you're Oregon, maybe you get into a bidding war and you know in college football now. Yeah, I'll stay for one more year, but you're gonna have to make it worth my while. Like those are other things that I don't know how many people are thinking about right now. Like you want to keep me. I'm thinking about, you know, going into the NBA or the NFL draft.
To kind of piggyback on that with NIL, you win a title and come back, you'd think that you'd get more NIL money?
I would think so. Yeah, a lot more.
Whereas like in the old days, like you win a title, what else do you have to prove?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Now it's time
you
to
win
leave.
A title.
Yeah,
that's
now all
a good
of a sudden
point.
You're like, you got national champion quarterback, you know?
All those local businesses are going to be forking up the cash. You stay here, man. Yeah, exactly.
Not only that, you're going to have Phil Mike going to say, hey, dude, let's win two.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, yeah. So that factors in as well. So it'll be interesting to see how all these kids ultimately play this and see if there are ways to make it worthwhile for these kids to stay in school a little bit longer. I don't know that there is, but, you know, you got a chance to go to the NFL. You probably should take it, but I wouldn't hate on him if he decided to make $8 million a year playing for Oregon one more season.
Satisfied with the Final Four in college football?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I mean, it took long enough to get there, but you're fine with these four.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I mean, obviously, I would have liked to see Ohio State in there and doing their thing, but, I mean, you got a great story in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You've got really a great story in Oregon, too. Yeah. A great story in Ole Miss. And, you know, Miami is always looked at as like a power anyway, you know, whether or not they are. Everybody looks at Miami and goes, ooh, the big bad Miami Hurricanes.
But
and
not so, for a while. It's been since the early 2000s when Miami was kind of considered.
But there's still that brand, you know?
Sure, yeah.
You know?
And they got rebranded with the NIL stuff and obviously all that.
Yeah,
that
I'm
pours
good
into
it.
That school. It's will you be as satisfied, do you think, with the NFC and AFC championship? As you are with college football?
Probably.
Because the storylines may not be there that we know of yet.
They'll develop over the next week or so. Like,
100%.
What do you think the biggest storyline is going into the playoffs this year?
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time for them to win. I think that's number one. And I think Mike Tomlin is number two as well.
I think the biggest thing I saw was no Burrow, no Lamar, Josh Allen, time's yours.
Time is yours.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But like, that's what it was that I saw a ton of. And then it was kind of like the subpar stories were Stafford, can you win a second? McVay, can you build your legacy with the Rams?
Yeah.
What can all these, you know, other coaches do that are in the playoffs? Like, you know, the guy in Jacksonville, Liam Cohen, like, here you are. Seattle, can you actually prove with Sam Darnold? That's a storyline as well. So there's a lot of those that develop as well. Plus, you have the Broncos as the number one seed. And beginning of the year, a lot of people said this might be the best team roster-wise on defense and offense. And they went through the season, they got the number one seed. And then there's Vrabel in New England. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
What will be the final four stories that develop? We get into some stories now with our sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network, Mr. Josh Klingler.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Watson, yes!
You think Kling's ever been to K&B Funtown?
I don't know, Josh. Did you ever take the kids to K&B Funtown in Parkville like Spectre did over the weekend?
No. Sounds like a good time. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, we had a text
but plenty, but plenty of Sky Zone and the roller rink, which hasn't changed since we were kids.
And
probably our parents were kids.
That roller rink
has not changed one bit.
No, nope. What's the name of your guys' roller rink?
Skate City, over
Skate
there, 69 and you know whatever that is, 103rd over
Skate
there,
City.
And it still smells like 1975 in there. And I'm sure there's a hot dog on the roller from 1975.
And then you skate to the corner when the music stops, and you can win your class a class party or something. Ooh. I don't know.
Yeah,
something.
See the skating rink in Blue Springs
changed in 70 years probably.
Yeah, the skating rink in Blue Springs is called Rink Rats with a Z. So, Kling, I'm dead serious. Shout out Rink Rats.
Shout out Spectre for going to K&B Funtown.
Yeah, so that's
weekend.
We got that question on the text line, which you know can be also awesome at times.
Ask Josh the question.
And it said, do you guys get mobbed by nerds when you go out in public? Because you should have seen all the guys swarming Steven Spectre at K&B Funtown this weekend. LOL.
Wow. I don't know if they're nerds, but I mean, yeah, I get plenty of people that want to talk Chiefs pretty much everywhere you go. So yeah, that's fine. It's part of the deal. That's fun.
What's the number one question you're getting now, Josh?
Well, it's been Kelsey for like a couple weeks now after they were eliminated. Like, is Kelsey coming back? Is Kelsey coming back? I was part of the mob that talked to him last night. Small mob, very small mob. But he shook everybody's hand when we were done. So I was like, okay, is this just, it might've been our last interaction. I don't know. I still don't know. I don't know. I'm guessing he knows, but he's kept it pretty much under his hat. But I guess, yeah, it's been the Kelsey question. And to me, the answer I give to everybody is the same. Like, he can still play. And I know he doesn't have anything left to prove, and he doesn't have anything really left to accomplish. I mean, he passed him, like, another milestone, you know, yesterday, 13,000 yards, and passed T.O. on the catches list. And so he can continue to kind of do those things. So he's got, like, no accomplishments to finish up, but he can still play. And we know that once you walk, despite what we saw from Phillip Rivers, and maybe for a brief stretch for Gronk, like, it's hard to come back, and that window's closed forever. And so I think you got to be sure you're finished before you go, because you're always going to be wondering what if, and it's a very limited career, obviously, for professional athletes. And so, you know, I hope he thinks, you know, long and hard about it. And I'm guessing the hard part is not the games. It's everything in between, getting to OTAs and training camp and doing the everyday thing and the workouts before you even get there. So if he feels like he wants to do that, he still has the ability. So so we'll see. I can't imagine that decision is going to be very long. If not, you know, when did they record the podcast?
Wednesday,
Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday or whatever. I mean, we may know before the end of the week. I don't know.
Do you think that, and maybe this has already happened, but has he pulled you aside and asked what it was like walking away at the top of your game like you did from here?
Oh, jeez. No, he is not, Bob.
I thought maybe he wanted advice. Hey, you left when you were at your best. Do you have any advice for me? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you left for you left for high school kids and tennis, and he might leave for sourdough and podcast.
And I'm still working too. So yeah, I don't know that I'm the best person to ask.
so Travis is not. Well, do you think? What do you think happens first? Okay, there's three options here. Travis announces, the Royals decide whatever the hell they're going to do, and St. Patrick's Day. Which happens first?
What was the third one?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day. I thought you said something about Patrick.
No.
Let's see. Travis beats them all.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. You think so?
I think Travis is soon. I think he's gonna give the Chiefs as much time as possible. So I gotta think that one's coming really quick. I don't know. I don't know why I think that, but the Royals, I don't know.
Nobody
I'm
does.
Still asked about that stuff all the time, and I just say, just listen to Fesco and Dusty, because I'm out of that stadium game, man.
Do you get asked
I'm
about
getting
it?
Close.
Thankfully.
Do you get asked about it at K&B Funtown? I kid. So we
K&B Funtown is going to be packed today, and they're not going to know why.
We're talking to Josh Klinger, the sideline.
Free ads.
Yeah,
awesome.
Dude. Talking to Josh Kling, the sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs, brought to you by K&B Funtown. Kling, who was your MVP this season for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, wow. You know, everybody had a hand in this thing. That was the hard part, right? I mean, you saw, like, little glimpses of things here and there, but, you know, was there anybody that was, like, super steady throughout? I don't know. Maybe it's Creed Humphrey, because he played the whole time, like,
right.
Creed Humphrey was still playing the last 3 weeks, like, then I would have, like, you know, thrown up the flag and said, can somebody come get me now, like, I'm the only one still out here doing this thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it was Creed Humphrey. No, but I think, you know, despite the fact that it was not the season anybody wanted, I'll give credit to kind of the core guys, like Nick Bolton never slowed down. You know, Chris Jones was out there at the very end of yesterday's game, even. Creed Humphrey, kind of same thing. Kelsey, the same thing. So those guys that kind of gutted through it when they didn't have anything to prove, and they certainly have been through the good and had to kind of eat some of the bad. So yeah. I guess I'm kind of giving credit to those guys for hanging in there and doing their thing, despite the fact that all told it was not very good. This Andy versus the West. Remember my Andy versus the West handwritten chart that I've had, Fesco?
Yeah.
This season looks gross on that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that they finished 1-5 against the AFC West, because that had been such kind of a badge of honor, and to have that, you know, come to a crashing halt. That's another thing that kind of circles back to me to Kelsey. Like, so you don't want to go out like this. Like, and I've seen all kinds of tweets about, you know, how bad the Chiefs have been since blah blah blah, and like Kelsey's face has been plastered, a couple of them. I'm like, man, do you want to wear that? I know there's going to be a bunch of change. I'm not pushing Travis out the door. I think there's plenty of other changes that need to happen, and if Kelsey wants to stay a part of it, I'm cool with that.
What kind of changes do you think need to happen with this team?
Well, I think I saw a list that Chiefs are among the league leaders in free agents, which isn't a bad thing. I think if you want to turn things over, that you have a bunch of expiring contracts. I think there will be coaching changes, and I don't think that even is necessary in a negative way. I think there were guys that stuck around as they were winning that probably could find themselves, certainly on the defensive side of the football, probably could warrant themselves some added titles or some promotions, that type of thing. So I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case. I can't imagine that, you know, that Matt Nagy and Tennessee doesn't happen, because obviously that's a former Chiefs assistant GM. So assuming Nagy wins over the ownership group, I can't imagine he doesn't get the job. I mean, it just feels like that one seems too natural. Like, you wouldn't have him down as a guy coming in for an interview. That's been a head coach that you have personal relationship with that wouldn't be the front runner for that gig. So you're probably in line for some offensive changes, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. Get some fresh voices in there and see what changes can happen. And then, yeah, anybody who'd been kind of holding out that maybe could have found themselves in a little bit different role, maybe higher up with a different team, might have the opportunity now to jump.
Are Spags and Andy a package deal? Like, they'll go out together, they'll stay together. Do you see Spags possibly taking something?
I don't know. I mean, you keep – what is there going to – how many – I mean, I know it hasn't happened today, but I thought it'd be happening a lot faster. Like, probably as we were speaking, there'd be, like, 3-4 more openings. But, I mean, how many are there going to be? That could be upwards of 10.
I think there's 5 or 6, and we kind of counted earlier. It could be anywhere from 7 to 10.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a lot of gigs, and you know, I don't know if Steve Spagnuolo has his name come up for one of those, and he wants to take one more shot at it. I wouldn't if I were him. Like, he's the greatest defensive coordinator maybe in NFL history at this point, right? Or most accomplished. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this was always what cracks me up around the hiring cycle. Like, I saw these stories too where they were like, "Well, this isn't a great hiring cycle for head coaches." Like, how the hell do you know? Like, we try these coordinators every year, and we don't know if they're going to be good head coaches or not. And there's plenty of people that are great coordinators that are just not going to be good head coaches, and that's absolutely fine. So if I were Steve Spagnuolo, yeah, I'd be kind of the package – maybe not the package deal with Andy, but, like, this is going to be my last job. And if it happens to be the same time Andy Reid is, so be it, but have this be his final destination, if I were him. But – you know, he may want to chase a head coaching thing one more time. I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and you know, bringing in a different offensive voice. To me, that is not Eric Bieniemy, and that is not Mike Kafka. If you're bringing in a different voice, you're bringing in a legitimate different voice. I'd bring in Brian Daboll. I'd bring in somebody who has no sort of connection to this Andy Reid tree, because everybody wants change. Bringing back, you know, Eric Bieniemy or Mike Kafka, that's not change. That's just washing and repeating and doing the same thing. I think what Andy really needs to do this offseason is bring in, I hate to use the term dissenting voice, but somebody that's going to come in and challenge him.
Yeah, I don't know what the full likelihood of that would be. If it were me, I mean, yeah, it sounds great up here, but you're like, yeah, I want to bring in somebody I kind of know. Like, so maybe it's a not direct but indirect descendant of your coaching tree, like someone you coached with who coached this person, or maybe it's one of these head coaches that gets let go that comes back as a coordinator, that type of thing, or somebody maybe off of somebody else's tree that you've another coaching staff where you're like, I really like what they do offensively. Something like that would be cool, like just some kind of fresh ideas and different ideas. And yeah, not necessarily the, well, I went somewhere for a year or two and learned something different and coming back. I get it. That doesn't seem very fresh right to me either. So, I would like to see certainly somebody to come and help with maybe the discipline aspect of things. I think that was kind of the most frustrating thing, certainly offensively, like the lack of discipline. I know Dana has pointed this out quite a bit with the wide receivers, and he gets, obviously, it was his position in the NFL, so he gets a little defensive. Like, he was just been frustrated with the lack of discipline at the wide receiver position, and maybe the not having definitive roles really for anybody at this point in time. And so that feels like an area that needs some fresh ideas. Like, how do you motivate the wide receivers? How do you train the right wide receivers? How do you maybe bring out the number one in Rashee Rice, hopefully, and being okay with the number two for Xavier Worthy, and finding, you know, like definitively finding ways to use the skill sets of the guys you have. So if there's somebody that's got those kind of fresh ideas, I think I'd be welcome to that. And then however you're going to incorporate the run game in it, and you're still going to need somebody that pounds their fist on the table. I know that happened behind the scenes, that, you know, there were people advocating for running the football. So still having somebody that's got a voice to be able to do that, to say, you know, you have to be able to successfully run the football as well. So any ideas are open. I'm not saying, you know, Andy Reid has to give up play calling and do those. He's too far along in his career to say you shouldn't be doing any of that. But, you know, he's always been a guy that's been willing to innovate at times. I think we saw it a few years ago, really, with Patrick Mahomes, right?
Like,
they didn't make Patrick Mahomes take the ball under center, because kids in college weren't taking the ball under center. So he went and did some things that were different, and he made sure he was ahead of the curve on that. So hopefully he's willing to do that type of thing again, because I think maybe the biggest thing we'll look back on was maybe how stale the offense got, and at times how predictable the offense got this year.
All right, Kling, 10 seconds. Give me your hottest Chiefs take going into the offseason.
I don't want it to be this, but they take like an offensive guy at number nine.
Even if it's a 6'5 receiver.
Well, yeah, I guess I wouldn't completely argue with that, but man, I'm leaning. Even though the defense did their job for most of the year, I mean, they were like top five in points, right? Like, I still feel like nope. Let's load up on some defensive guys in the draft.
Because they look slow.
They can't help themselves, and there's a skill guy at number nine. They can't say no to.
Yeah. I think with the defense, to me, they just always looked a step slow this year. That's why.
Yeah. They do need more speed. I watch these other defenses, and I'm like, wow, they're kind of flying around. And I think the Chiefs' defense was solid, but not as speedy as it needs to be.
All right, Kling. Well, we'll do it again next year and enjoy the time off for the first time in, gosh, 10 years.
Let me write that thing down. What was it? F? What was Fun Town?
K&B Fun Town in Parkville, yes.
Okay, K&B.
Yeah, enjoy your off-season there.
Socks like batteries, not included.
You should see the socks I found downstairs in the basement, Josh.
All righty. Well, Kling, we appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, later, guys.
Later. That's Josh Klinger there. Coming up on the other side, who are you pulling for in the NFL playoffs? We'll discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Count them two that we believe today. NFL coaches losing jobs. Stefanski. Oh, that's right. New Sounders. Stefanski out in Cleveland.
Is Todd Bowles still employed?
He shouldn't be. And Raheem Morris out in Atlanta.
Yep.
Boy, if Spags did take a head coaching job, wouldn't mind bringing Raheem Morris in as D coordinator.
I like Raheem Morris. You know where I stand on him.
Or Todd Bowles. Maybe you could finally get some pressure on a quarterback with some schemes, as long as he's not the head man.
I'm just upset that it went south so fast for Raheem Morris, man.
And they won four in a row.
Yeah.
The only coach ever to get fired after winning four in a row.
That's what we were talking about last week, is that team was still fighting for him. And that, to me, was a good sign. But again, like you said, he got the veto kiss of death. Like, here he is after the game. 2 hours later, he's getting fired.
I don't understand that. He was kissing the owner and his family after the game. And then, like, 2 hours later, as you said, gone. And he's out. Like, I would have fired the GM.
Judas was at the Last Supper.
You know, I would have fired the GM.
100%.
Because of the roster construction, you know.
Get canned, right?
Yeah, he got fired, too. But you brought in, you know, Kirk Cousins for $180 billion or whatever it was, and then drafted Penix, which I understood at the time. I'm not against that at all. It's just that if you were going to do that and you knew that was going to be your guy, well, they didn't know he was going to be there at that time when they drafted him. So they got caught between a rock and a hard place, but it was the right decision because the following year, there was no quarterback coming out, right? Who's the quarterback that came out this year that, you know, has lit the world on fire? Nagy's guy in Nashville now that he's going to have to be saddled with
Cam Ward.
I mean, like, and then your guy. I mean, two-way player down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
Hunter.
Yeah, is it weird the minute he went out, they didn't lose again?
It's a little weird. Coincidence? I think not.
They went and got Jacoby Myers, completely revamped the offense.
Exactly.
Look, man, I've been around this a long time. I know the admission of one guy or the removal of one guy and how it makes a huge difference for an organization. I mean, you talk about like the Todd Frazier's of the world coming here, Adam Frazier, whoever the hell it was, you know, that was like that glue guy or, you know, those guys matter. But if you got a guy in there that isn't pulling in the same direction as everybody else or whatever the case may be, or you're trying to figure out what to do with him instead of just playing football, and then that mucks up the waters, man. It really does.
There is currently four vacancies, I believe. So we have Tennessee, New York.
Right.
They fired midseason. Cleveland and Atlanta. That's four openings.
Already.
Do we think there are four more?
No.
Okay.
I think we get ahead of ourselves.
So let's say Tampa fires Bowles.
How many years is left on his contract and money? Because that does factor in. And I don't know the answer to these. Like, because who should be fired and who will be fired is a completely different conversation when you got these owners that are cheap.
So you have...
They signed him out to a contract extension in June of this year.
Todd Bowles. Well, I don't know that he's going anywhere, right?
Okay, so we'll leave...
Bad choice. We'll
leave Tampa off the books there. So, okay, so maybe they fire their general manager in Tampa. Okay, so Cincinnati.
See, I would move on.
Okay, so there's an... Yeah. That's now five.
Actually, let me take that back. Can I take that back?
Nope. Okay. 2026.
Oh, 2026.
We got rid of take backs.
We got rid of take backs.
No take backs.
But
you get a big... Never mind.
Can I phrase it differently then if I can't take it back?
Can I phrase it?
Yeah. What I would do if I was Cincinnati, quite honestly, I'd trade Joe Burrow before I would fire the coach.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
I think you could rebuild your entire organization by trading him. And look, he's been hurt.
I think
he's complaining.
That's fair.
I don't disagree with the trade. He needs to go. Stefanski or Zach Taylor has to go as well.
Okay. Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, if you wanted to, but I think you in Cincinnati have the biggest lottery ticket this offseason. You really do. You got a guy that doesn't want to be there and every other team other than maybe Kansas City and Buffalo, right?
New England.
We're 16 games into the Drake May era right now, right? Like, I think definitively it is the Chiefs and Buffalo, and everybody else would be in the conversation of acquiring Joe Burrow. You could revamp your entire organization with that trade if you do it right.
You could have that same conversation in Baltimore.
Absolutely you can. But see, I would trade Harbaugh, too, in Baltimore. Too. I'd break that whole thing down.
Burrow's just got way more juice right now. Yeah. Lamar is not the name that he was a few months ago. No.
And he's coming up back-to-back MVP. Not back-to-back, but...
The problem is we watched him play bad. When Burrow's not playing, he just doesn't play because he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Lamar plays through these things, and it's not the same.
Sometimes.
Right. Would you rather have a guy play through it like Lamar or a guy like Burrow who just is out?
Well, I mean, like, his injuries have been...
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, that's what you're looking at.
I know. It's really what it is. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I guess Burrow.
Okay, so we're at five. Gannon in Arizona, in or out?
I think he stays.
Wow.
I'm going to say he's out.
He should be, but I think they're cheap.
That's fair, but I mean, they're going to get a new quarterback. They're going to have to get a new system.
I don't disagree with any of that. So, I'd bail on that guy in a second.
So let's say that opens. That's now at six. The wild card for the seventh. The wild card is Miami.
He's staying.
Yeah, I think he's locked in. I think if that was happening, that would have already happened.
I think so too. Yeah. So I think he's staying.
There's anywhere from six to seven head coaching jobs that are open.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And we think one of them might already be closed. So maybe there's really five to six.
Which one might already be
Tennessee.
Closed? Tennessee. Yeah.
I'll include the Raiders in that. Could get it up.
Okay, so that would get to that.
Raiders. That's opening.
So then there's 7 to 8, right? And this is how this conversation builds, because then you start thinking of other teams. You're like, well, what about here? Mm-hmm. Because the other thing too is you could play the what about game, because what if Buffalo gets beaten by Jacksonville
then that
on
has
Saturday?
To open.
That has to change. Boy, could you imagine trading Josh Allen? I'm kidding. But you talk about a revamp. But no, they would McDermott gone. Right? Like, it'd be over.
If Tomlin
loses round one to Houston.
I saw a
it's
tweet
the same
from
story again and again and again and again.
Look, I saw a tweet from a guy who does, we do in Pittsburgh, a friend of mine, and actually he does afternoons on News Talk now. He used to be a sports guy, and he goes, people who are mad at Mike Tomlin for celebrating last night, screw off, right? Like, you should celebrate that win. Now, if he loses on Sunday in the first round of the playoffs, then we should fire Mike Tomlin.
Because like, it is a home game, but it is against Houston.
Right.
Over under 3.5 sacks for Houston on Saturday. Monday night.
I'll take the over.
Dude. Aaron Rodgers went, all right, we're the playoffs. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, but he's getting his wide receiver back.
Oh, that's good.
Who he hasn't had for the last two games. And that has been very evident. You know, I mean, the last two games.
Hey, he's still into MVS.
Yeah, I can you believe that? I mean,
he went from Metcalf to MVS. We went from Metcalf to Null.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Still nice. Here, guys.
But seriously, like you get Metcalf back now, and you don't have to throw the ball to MVS all day long.
Yeah, it's good. That offense has sucked all season.
It has.
It's been anemic. Yeah, completely trash.
What are you talking about? I got Warren and Gainwell, brother.
They were talking about it last night on the broadcast.
Friermuth.
They're like the guy Arthur Blank or Smith or whatever the guy's name is with that stupid Arthur mustache, Smith, yeah. Right? Oh, he's such a great play caller. But then Aaron Rodgers changes everything at the line. They said, so how good a play caller is he if the quarterback's going, that's ass. We're doing this. You know, Aaron last night missing that wide open wide receiver too. That was bad, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So I hope they win and Tomlin continues to give people in Pittsburgh the middle finger.
30 seconds each. Who are you pulling for in the NFL playoffs?
I'll go with Pittsburgh. Okay. Yeah, just for the Tomlin factor.
After all that.
Yeah.
You know what? I really like this Pittsburgh
team. No, I do. I like Tomlin. I mean, I'm going to root for the guy. I hope he wins just to continue to piss people
off.
Why
don't you wipe your ass with that terrible towel?
Yeah. If I had, other parts, I'd be an uncle.
Yeah. What if he would have made that field goal? Well, if my aunt had a male part, she'd be my uncle.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
No doubt. Mac, who you got rooting for in the playoffs?
Give me the Jags, man. I think they've got a real shot. They've impressed me this last 6 weeks, and I love Trevor Lawrence. I've loved his story. His comeback in the last few years has been awesome. And Liam Cohen, first-year head coach, Duval, and yeah, it's great. So
Bills 35, Jags nothing.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, who's debunked their press conference, gaffe? Kneecaps, Campbell, Google me, Cignetti. Duval Cohen.
The Cignetti one.
Yeah, Cignetti.
Cignetti's got accomplishments.
I win. Google me.
Yeah, Dan Campbell. And here's the Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell going into next season will be on a hot seat.
Woo, I believe that.
Lost both your coordinators and you missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people talking about him this offseason.
Was it the brains or the nucleus?
That's exactly what
it
is.
Looks like it was the brains.
No one person is bigger than the sum of the parts. That's just the way it is. And what the Chiefs have been able to do and continue to move forward for a decade and lose people and continue to move forward and continue to win. I mean, it's like it all dissipated this year, obviously, but it doesn't take away from that 10-year run. As soon as Dan Campbell lost a trusted...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This dinner, too. I mean, my God, they went right down into the dumper.
A regular season look back, plus we get into the question we asked earlier about Andy Reid. We'll dive it up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.